Have you ever opened your mouth intending to say one thing, but then something else entirely comes out? Well, that happened to me last fall while I was being interviewed for the following episode that originally aired on the Joyfully Homeschooling podcast. Host Misty Bailey asked me, "How do you find joy in your homeschool day?" I took a breath and opened my mouth to deliver the answer I had prepared ahead of time. But what I ended up saying instead was definitely more vulnerable than I planned to share. I shared a bit on Instagram about some of the things on my heart soon after we recorded that interview last fall. I said, "So if you are also not feeling super peppy these days, it's okay. Just because it's hard doesn't mean we are doing something wrong. It also doesn't mean we don't like homeschooling. I love homeschooling, even though it's not always a super happy time in my head. Homeschooling can't make me happy because it's not my savior." Listening back to my chat with Misty was an encouragement and a reminder that my identity is in Christ, not my work as a homeschool mom. Misty and I discussed some of the changes I've noticed in the homeschool world as a second-generation homeschooler, some of my struggles as a homeschool mom, one of my biggest homeschooling accomplishments, and of course that infamous "how do you find joy" question. And you'll just have to listen to the full episode or read the transcript at humilityanddoxology.com to find out what I said. A huge thank you once again to Misty for allowing me to republish this content here on the Homeschool Conversations podcast. Definitely check out the Joyfully Homeschooling podcast archives for lots more homeschooling encouragement.
Welcome to Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology, a series of interviews with real-life homeschool moms, dads, and other educators on all sorts of topics that affect our lives as homeschool parents. I'm Amy Sloan, a second-generation homeschool mom of five, and I am so delighted that you are here. Here on Homeschool Conversations, we'll discuss educational philosophy, family life, and more. Come chat with us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Joyfully Homeschooling podcast. I am excited today to have a Fess Up Friday interview with my friend Amy Sloan. How are you today, Amy?
I am doing well and glad to have an adult chat.
Right? That's what we were just saying before we started recording. We all need adult interaction from time to time.
Definitely.
So, Amy, can you introduce yourself and your homeschool to my audience?
Yes. Well, Misty, my name is Amy Sloan, as you mentioned, and I am actually a second generation homeschool mom of five. My oldest is 15 and in the 10th grade. I have three daughters, then in the middle, 13, 10, and 8. And then my bookend boy is 5 and just started kindergarten. So we're kind of like kindergarten to calculus this year. And my husband was also homeschooled through middle school. And so it's been really fun to get to, just kind of put our own spin on things with our homeschool. And I write at humilityanddoxology.com and just have a fun time thinking about books and poems and kind of sharing what our family's doing.
So, second generation homeschooler. My friend Devon is also a second generation homeschooler. So I like talking to her about these things. She's been on the podcast a few times. But how have things changed, do you think, since you were homeschooled yourself and to now? Do you notice the difference? Like, has your mom been like, "You are so much luckier than I was when I homeschooled you"?
You know, there are a lot of things I think that have changed. I mean, one, just the immense amount of resources mm-hmm. that we have available, which is, of course, kind of both a good thing and sometimes a bad thing, because mm-hmm. there's so many things to choose from. There was very little. You know, we would often get, you know, the publishers, their pre-published, you know, raw form. But it was also I think really wonderful, because my memory of my homeschool was there were a lot of homeschool support groups as opposed, mm-hmm. I mean, we did some co-op-y things, but it felt maybe a little bit more focused on kind of like relationship and families getting together mm-hmm. And not so much where it seems harder now to find that kind of support group. It's more like you go for a day to a bunch of classes or whatever. I can't imagine how they homeschooled without the internet, frankly.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree with that. And I know when I started homeschooling, which is just a little sidebar that everybody can listen to before we dive into the interview. But when I started homeschooling, my homeschool mentor, Jamie Brown, who I've also had on the podcast, that's what they did. Like exactly what you said, you know, that generation seemed to have more of the support group. And I remember going and it was just moms getting together once a month, letting their kids hang out. And I, at that time, was like, I want more. I want this. I want that. And so we started our own group and started doing field trips. And then now we have co-op classes and we have all of those things. And now that my kids are older and I've been leading that and doing the classes, which I'm very grateful for, I'm starting to see why those moms used to just enjoy the simpler things, just getting the kids together and doing that. And it is, you're right. It's harder to find those support groups because it's like this new generation of homeschoolers, which would include myself, you know, wanted more of the academic and the rigorous stuff. So that's interesting perspective because I've not heard people other than my Jamie say that before.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm so blessed because when my oldest was in kindergarten-ish age and I started, you know, researching to find something like that, something that like I remembered from growing up, I was fortunate enough to find a local small group. And one of the things I love about it is we all homeschool in slightly different ways. So mm-hmm. it's not just an echo chamber of, you know, people who just have the one right way of homeschooling. We have moms meetings is sort of the core of what we do, like once a month, getting together to just share and have that relationship time. Mm-hmm. And then we can still do the field trips and, you know, fun things like that together. But we have something that we share that's different from just like all being in the same class together or following the same curriculum. And I really love it. It's really a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it. That's a blessing. So, and that was, like I said, a nice little sidebar in there before we dive in. But I think it's interesting to talk to people, especially, you know, when you are through that second generation, about how things have changed. Because I don't think that, especially the people that are now being thrown into homeschooling with this whole pandemic, I don't think they understand, one, the difference, you know, from those who homeschooled, you know, 20 years ago to those who maybe started 10 years ago. And then even just 5 years ago, how much things have changed since then. So it's nice to get a little bit of a history there. So we're going to dive in with our Fess Up Friday interview, all about our homeschool joys, struggles, fears, lessons, accomplishments, and all of that fun jazz. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The first question I have for you today, Amy, is what is one struggle or fear you have had regarding homeschooling? How have you overcome it? And if you haven't fully, how are you still working on it?
You know, it's really interesting that we were just having the conversation about second generation homeschooling, because I think that my answer to this question really relates to my experience. I came into homeschooling my own children as a very young mom. I was married early, and I was going to take all the wonderful things that I remembered that my mom had done and, of course, do them even better. And then I was also going to avoid all of her mistakes. You know, this is sort of what I had in my head. And I was going to be the perfect homeschool mom and the perfect, you know, parent, and that was all going to work out just right. And the Lord was very gracious to humble me and to really show the pride in my heart and to show that I had put my hope into my own sort of like my own work as the homeschool mom. And that was an unfair pressure to mm-hmm. put on my children, certainly to put on myself. And I still see that struggle in my own heart, you know, like wanting to pick just the right plan for the day or just the right curriculum or just the right book, that if I could just, you know, do things the right way, if I could just push the right buttons, then out would come this product. And, you know, our children are not products. They're people mm-hmm. Made in the image of God. And I've written before about how homeschooling is not a vending machine. It's not something where we just push the right buttons and get out this end result child or something. Mm-hmm. And so I think that struggle really is more of like a mindset or a heart issue, has probably been the biggest struggle as a homeschool mom, but I've seen the Lord grow through a lot of hard things through, wow, I thought if I just did it this way, everything would turn out just perfect. And, you know, that doesn't happen. And that's actually a gift from the Lord, because it's made me have to turn and put my hope back in the work of Christ. One of my very favorite hymns is "Upon a Life upon a life I did not live, and upon a death I did not die," is sort of the line. And it just is always a reminder to me that it's not just that Jesus died for me, but that he also perfectly obeyed for me. Mm. And so when I see my failures and my mistakes as a homeschool mom, because I mean, we all have them. That's part of being human. I'm able to remember that God is perfectly pleased with me, not because I've done all the right things as a homeschool mom, you know, not because my kid is excelling academically, not because any other family would look at us and be like, oh, wow, look at that. That looks so great. Because I'll be like, you just need to come sometime when I'm losing my mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that reminder, just that my identity is in Christ and not in my work as a homeschool mom, has been a huge shift.
So Amy, I love what you said there. You know, my identity is in Christ, not in my work as a homeschool mom. Do you think that that is a lesson that you have learned from other homeschool moms in your community? Have you kind of, you know, you said at the beginning that you had this great community and this great support group, but I think that that lesson, you know, learning to kind of separate our kids from our identity, you know, I think that that is something a lot of moms struggle with. You know, whenever you decide to homeschool, you may be leaving a career, you may be putting your dreams and desires on a back burner to kind of pick up this calling of homeschool mom. And I think a lot of moms lose themselves in that process, and they end up putting on this identity of homeschool mom and then lining their kids up. I mean, or maybe it's just me and you that have had this struggle, but they end up, you know, lining their kids up and being like, okay, you know, you guys are going to be, you know, what everybody looks at to see my accomplishments, if that makes any sense. You know, have you found that as a common struggle in your community? Is that something that you've kind of talked with other moms about as you have, you know, taken this struggle and kind of worked on overcoming it? Or is it kind of something you just learned on your own?
I think it's really a combination of all of those things. I think one thing was seeing the painful result of my generation of homeschool students. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of families, you know, not all, but I think a lot of families in that generation were really looking to homeschooling to save their children, mm-hmm. Not looking to the Spirit to do that work. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, really failed for a lot of students who fell away or, you know, kind of rejected the things that they had been taught. And I think, you know, that's an important lesson to remember, that homeschooling mm-hmm. didn't save those children. You know, it didn't save a generation. It's not going to save our children. So I think that was one thing. I think definitely just being in community with other gospel-minded moms, as we're preaching the gospel to one another all the time, because we all need to hear it over and over again. Mm-hmm. I think that has been critical, you know, in my church community. And then even in more recent years, just being reminded, it's like, I say these things and I need to hear this again. Mm-hmm. You know, I still forget this most essential truth. And so I've been really blessed by the work of women like Kendra Fletcher, mm-hmm. Who emphasizes not shifting our hope onto anything other than the gospel. And then most recently, I really loved the book, My Divine Comedy by Missy mm-hmm. Andrews. So Missy's book is definitely one of my new favorite books to recommend to homeschool moms, because she talks about this exact same thing. She's graduated her 5 children from homeschool and really details that exact same experience of putting her identity in her good work, in a sense, and learning that didn't turn out so well. Mm-hmm. So it's a really excellent story.
Yeah, and I will add before I move on to the next question that I actually had Kendra Fletcher on the podcast. I'll have to leave a link to the show notes. I don't know the number of it, but we talked about that. We talked about the legalism that went along with homeschooling and just Christian communities for so many years. And you know, I love what you said, and I think that you're absolutely right. There's so much truth in there. So I hope that that really encourages a mom who may be having that same struggle right now and needs that reminder that, you know, homeschooling is not our children's salvation. It's not our identity. Our identity is in Christ alone. And He may have called us to homeschool, but that doesn't mean we need to bear this huge weight on our shoulders of how our children are going to turn out, because ultimately they are not ours. They are His.
Amen. Thank you to everyone who has sent in a rating or review for the Homeschool Conversations podcast. I shared a couple last month and this month as well. I want to share a couple of the reviews that have come in. I so appreciate when you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. It's not only such an encouragement to me, but it really does help other homeschool parents find these encouraging conversations. So please take a moment today to rate and review Homeschool Conversations in your podcast player, and maybe your review will show up in a future podcast episode. If you need help to know how to do the review, just drop me an email to amy@humilityanddoxology.com, and I will work hard to help you figure that out. Today's review comes from Matt Miner, who says, "Amy is creating great content to support homeschool families. Amy brings diverse voices together to help homeschool families as they take this journey. Her guests' voices, and importantly, her own voice, bring the wisdom of experience and lots of practical help and encouragement. Thanks, Amy, and keep up the great work." KF Harris says, "My new favorite podcast. It's really hard to find a good podcast that you can relate to and is uplifting and contains truth in today's world. As a new homeschool mom, it's nice to have your podcast and other social media to turn to. Thank you." And thank you. I appreciate each one of the reviews that have been left and look forward to reading yours next month.
Okay, so the next question I have for you, Amy, is what is one thing you have learned as a homeschool mom?
So many things, but I will just mention one. I have been really surprised. It took me longer than it needed to realize that academic ability did not necessarily correspond with emotional maturity. And especially for those of us who may have a child who is academically precocious or gifted, it can be really easy to put a pressure on them to also act the age, you know, that a traditional child would be studying those subjects, for instance. Or if you have a child who's very gifted in being able to verbally communicate, to not be able to understand, well, if you can communicate so clearly, you know, why do you still have trouble regulating your emotions, or, you know, whatever it may be. And so really learning to remember that my children were still children, especially the ones who were zipping through their academics at a crazy pace. And even sometimes to realize that sometimes that advanced academic ability didn't just come with, you know, a typical age emotional maturity, but sometimes would come with an emotional maturity that was maybe below age level. And so that's been a huge thing I've learned and I try to be aware of more now with my younger children.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that in some of my kids. And that's something that, I don't think is talked about a whole lot. You know, I have a child, my middle has always worked a grade or two level ahead, you know, and very, very smart academically, but her emotional maturity sometimes has been a little bit down. So I love that you mentioned that, because I can absolutely see that playing out as well. So, okay, the next question I have for you, Amy, is what has been your biggest homeschool accomplishment so far?
Brainwashing my children to love Shakespeare. it is such a fun part of our homeschool day. We regularly include Shakespeare in our morning time memory work. So memory work is really important in our homeschool, but not lists of facts and dates. We love to memorize poems and speeches and Shakespeare and scripture. And it just fills my heart with so much joy. You cannot even believe when I see, you know, like earlier today, my 8-year-old was just reciting something from Antony and Cleopatra in the kitchen. I was like, yes. You know, my teens don't think they're too cool for Shakespeare, and my littles love to just rattle off random stuff. They don't really understand what it means, and it's very fun.
Yeah, and it is if anybody has listened to every episode of this podcast or lots of episodes of this podcast, they're going to know that my weakness in our homeschool has been poetry and the lack of Shakespeare and the lack of things like that. But I tried to brainwash my children to love Little House on the Prairie. Like, I tried through the years, because it's like always been my dream to go to all the Little House on the Prairie sites. It was my favorite TV show as a kid. And so I tried brainwashing my kids in other areas and it didn't work. So maybe I just made a mistake and I should have brainwashed them into Shakespeare or poetry or things like I didn't like. I mean, I could say I brainwashed them in something, but my ability to brainwash my children apparently is not very good. But I laughed whenever you sent that. Whenever I saw that you had sent that, because I'm like, I'm going to have to confess again for anybody that's not binge watched this podcast that we are not Shakespeare or poetry people.
Well, I think one of the problems is people try to read Shakespeare or read poetry and then it's terribly boring.
Yeah.
But instead, like, I have created a playlist of child appropriate clips from various Shakespeare films, because generally the full things are not child appropriate. And we will just watch these genius actors and actresses portraying the scenes that we're studying. And oh, they'll just laugh and try to, you know, imitate the actors. And so it's a lot more fun that way than if you're just sitting trying to read it on your own.
Yeah. Well, I will say that I did an episode with Dashiell McVeigh. I'll have to leave a link to it in the show notes, but I did an episode with her. And we talked about poetry, and she let me know, which I never knew this, that like Dr. Seuss would be considered poetry. And so then I'm like, well, maybe I do like poetry better than I thought that I did. It's not Shakespeare by no means, but my son did really, really love the Dr. Seuss books. And so that made me feel a little bit better as a homeschool mom. If you go back to the first question, I'm like, well, maybe I'm not completely failing my children because we haven't been introduced to some aspect of rhyming, I guess. But
definitely.
Anyway, I love that. So is there any recommended resources that you would say for anybody else who wanted to brainwash their children in Shakespeare?
Well, I would say you could head to my Year of Memory Work, where I have free printables and videos of us reciting poems and Shakespeare and things. And some of them we get a little goofy with, so that's always helpful. I really recommend Charles and Mary Lamb's Tales from Shakespeare. We always start by reading that retelling of the story first, because otherwise you'll get totally lost in what's happening. And then I also really love the book by Ken Ludwig I think it's How to Teach Your Child Shakespeare or something like that. That would be an excellent resource for someone who feels completely like they have no idea what's going on and they're not even sure they want to do it. He just leads you step by step in explaining what's happening in short memory passages and even gives you tips for how to help your children memorize those sections of Shakespeare.
That is awesome. And can you send me a link to your memory work printable too, so that we can make sure we leave that in the show notes?
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Okay. Awesome. So, okay. The next question I have for you is, how do you find joy in your homeschool day?
I think, well, recently I haven't been finding much joy.
It's the whole 2020 curse. I swear all of us are like that.
Maybe you should cut that out.
Yeah, totally. No, we can leave it. That is truth. That is truth right there.
No, I have joy in my homeschool day, but there have definitely been probably more tears. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just from the kids, but actually from myself, mm-hmm. The past few months. So for any mom who's just thinking, why am I not happy? I like homeschooling and I want to homeschool and I don't understand why I'm feeling so down. You know, just to be patient with one another, to love each other. So, I mean, that's sort of just to be real, like I'm not swirling around with rainbows and unicorns all the time, Shakespeare or not. But what does bring me a great deal of joy in my homeschool, I think really would be, as far as the actual homeschool part, would really be our morning time routine. Mm-hmm. Because with 5 children, a 10-year age span, my older kids have a very rigorous schedule this year. And so there's not as much shared family mm-hmm. homeschool time that there used to be when they were all younger. And so to just know that we have that time in the morning where we come together, we read together, we pray together, we recite together, and we still have that precious time of shared memory, shared culture, that just brings me so much joy. It's definitely one of my homeschool must-dos.
So what are some of your favorite morning time resources, do you think?
Well, we actually do a lot of things just sort of on our own. It's mm-hmm. it's pretty simple. So we'll start with prayer. Then we have a printed memory work of some passage of scripture, which generally we've actually realized that when we alternate verses, light print and dark print, when I print them, I alternate with bold print and light print. We actually will recite it responsively together. Mm-hmm. So like I'll read the light print and they'll read the dark print or take turns. And that has been really helpful in memorizing longer scripture passages. Then we just generally read something that has something to do with what we're learning in history. A lot of times our memory work has to do with that as well, although not always. And the kids will then pray. And the new thing this year has been World Watch News. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, we watch CNN 10. Is World Watch News like similar to that?
Mm-hmm. So World Watch in 3 started earlier in the summer and we kind of got hooked on it. And then they released their full program. So it's done by the same people who do World Magazine. Mm-hmm. And it's about 10 minutes every day, every weekday. And it's appropriate for all the ages in my family are all engaged and interested in it. And it's been really fantastic. I probably am more up on the news this year than I ever have been.
Yeah, well, that's how I felt with CNN 10, and which I don't know, CNN 10 is very non-political, so I'm thankful for that, like even though CNN is probably a more, you know, liberal news company, the CNN 10 is very non-political, so while it's been current events, it's not been, you know, like what the actual news is like. So for that, I'm thankful. I would recommend it for lots of adults okay. that just want to stay away from the bias that's on the news, which is a whole other podcast episode. But it is mostly, you know, United States news. So is World Watch more worldwide, global?
Yes. Oh, that's one of the things I love about it is it will bring in stories from all around the world, all sorts of different topics, not just, you know, political, but also like cultural and scientific. Awesome. It's really well done. And then one thing I do love is at the end, sort of the closing, the sign out is, you know, remember, no matter what the news, the purpose of the Lord will stand.
And wow, I just, that is awesome.
I know. I love it so much because the news can be a scary place. No matter if you're a child or an adult, and just to remember who is in charge of the news ultimately is very helpful.
Yeah, I will definitely have to check that out. Although my kids love CNN 10. So I'm like, I don't know if I can get them to switch. They've really liked it, but I will definitely have to check that out. And so that is an awesome resource because I didn't know there was a Christian alternative out there. So that is great. Amy, this has been so much fun. And I do want to say one more thing, going back to what you had mentioned that we could edit out, you know, about not being able to find joy. If there's moms out there who feel like that, like, believe me, I have been in that season. Amy has obviously been in that season. And if you're ever at the moment where it's like, hey, how do you find joy in your homeschool day? And you're like, I cannot find joy in my day at all. That's one of the reasons I have this question on this podcast is because I think that so many of us have been through those seasons where we're just burnt out or it's just a really, really hard and heavy moment. And don't beat yourself up over feeling that way. Like you can find joy and goodness in everything. you know, no matter where you're at, in all honesty, you can find a way to find joy, but like it can be in little things, you know, and we all go through those seasons where things just feel heavy. And I just want to say that, like, don't feel guilty. We've all been there at some point.
Yeah. And you know, just because it's hard doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. Exactly. And it doesn't mean that the Lord is not full of grace and truth mm-hmm. and mercy. And I think maybe we just need more moms who are willing to like not pretend, I guess,
yes.
you know, like,
yes. That's why I'm okay. not editing it out. Yes.
All right. Let's just leave it in there. It is, after all, I write it humility and doxology. So there's a lot of humility happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think especially with 2020 right now, there are so many moms that are just like, hey, you know, this year just kind of sucks. Like, I really don't want to get up and do this day after day after day after day. And, you know, I think that when you do struggle with those joys, you know, you can, I don't know, you'd have to go back and listen to all my Fest Up Friday episodes to listen to every episode has somebody at the end saying how they find joy. And, you know, it can be in little things, but it can also just be just admitting, hey, I've had a really crappy day. Like, call a friend and tell them, like, you know, what kind of mood you're in. And I think that that can really help encourage each other right now. You're not alone is what yeah. I'm getting at. So in that big long ramble, this episode's going to end up being a ramble fest. I'm sorry.
It's the best kind. The rabbit trail is the point.
There we go. That's totally it. So Amy, can you tell everybody where they can connect with you and about your podcast? Because you have one as well.
Yes, thank you. So you can find me at humilityanddoxology.com. I'm also Humility and Doxology on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And then I have a weekly interview podcast called Homeschool Conversations. And I talk about with real life homeschool moms, dads, and other educators about all sorts of different topics. So that's been really fun.
Yeah. And so is your, so you said your podcast is called Homeschool Conversations, and is that on Apple and all of the podcast apps on your website? Can you get to it from your website also?
Yes. It should be in your favorite podcast app. I think it's in all the places. And you can also find a roundup of all of the previous episodes at humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-conversations.
All right. And we will leave links to all of those as well. Amy, this has been so much fun. Thank you for rabbit trailing and rambling with me today. I have really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening in on this week's Homeschool Conversation. For show notes and links to all the resources we discussed, head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-conversations. And if these episodes are an encouragement to you, would you take a moment to leave a rating and review and to share with your friends? I am so thankful that you are here on this adventure with me. Let's repent of our constant striving, relish the joy of learning, and rest in the work of Christ on our behalf. Stand fast, my friends.